We live in a broken world where sorrow, crime, and misery are constantly surrounding us.
And many times we look to pastors, priests, and political leaders to bring solutions to these problems.
But where can we really find the solution?
Join us as we uncover the secret on today's program.
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning here on Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us.
It's a lovely Friday morning, friends, and winter is right around the corner, and we are officially less than 2 weeks away from the start of winter.
Wow.
So what are you looking forward to during this winter season? What do you enjoy the most? Honey, what do you like the most about winter?
I would have to say I love enjoying just a variety of hot drinks and being close to a fire. That's what I like about the winter.
That sounds really nice. Staying warm,
in other words. Else?
What?
I love jumping into the snow, just like, you know, just rolling in the snow and then jumping into a hot tub.
But before you do that, wouldn't you you'd go to the snow first and you'd already be really cold and then get into
yes,
the warm water?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do that. But I will say that I like looking out the window after a fresh snow and seeing all the branches lined perfectly with snow and taking a drive.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to go sledding. You know, you can't beat that.
You have to go sledding. You know, there's always nice things to do and to enjoy every season. You know, God is so good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, we have a lot to share with you today, but first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1941, a Japanese dive bomber emerged from the clouds above Oahu. It was soon joined by a swarm of 360 Japanese warplanes that launched a devastating assault on the U.S. naval base at Pearl Harbor. This unexpected attack dealt a severe blow to the U.S. Pacific Fleet and led to the United States' inevitable entry into World War II. Though President Franklin D. Roosevelt and his advisors knew that a Japanese attack was imminent, nothing had been done to increase security at this naval base, and many personnel were off base when this happened.
You know, the principle here lies true today. Be prepared for the worst. You know, be prepared even for war. And the Bible warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that we have an enemy, Satan, who roars like a lion, seeking to utterly destroy us. So friends, what are you doing to fight against him? Oh, God has given us the weapons for victory. In Ephesians chapter 6, he tells us the secret armor that we need to put on to be victorious against our ultimate enemy. So friends, Ephesians chapter 6, read it today and learn what you can do so that Satan cannot stand against you.
Amen. Well, this morning we have Pastor Taj Pachlev joining us now as he takes us through a journey about sea glass to discover where the ultimate solution to all of life's problems lies.
We're here at the west end of the beautiful island of Bermuda, and right past this plot of land called Convict Cemetery is a very unique beach. Let's go check it out. We're here at the site of an old naval dump, where we find the remnants of an old glass factory. Here you'll find hundreds of thousands of pieces of sea glass. One of my favorite hobbies is collecting sea glass. Now, I'm not gonna collect any here today, but sometimes back at home in Hawaii, when the waves are too small to surf or the water is too murky to go scuba diving, you'll find me on my hands and knees on the beach searching for sea glass. Now, I know this may sound strange, but allow me to share with you why I enjoy it so much. You see, to the common eye, these small pieces of broken glass are considered as trash, not worth paying any attention to. But for a melancholy like me, I see it as beautiful treasure. Some are as big as rocks, others are as tiny as small grains of sand. The most common colors are brown, green, and milky white. Sometimes if you're lucky, you'll come across the rare cobalt blues, the ruby reds, or the royal purples. And if you ever find an orange one, consider yourself extremely blessed. Only one out of 10,000 pieces of collected sea glass is orange. Those are extremely rare. Each piece has a story. It came from somewhere, and it was once used for something useful and practical. But have you ever thought about where sea glass comes from? Well, let me tell you. It comes from glass bottles that were discarded decades ago into the ocean. It is then broken to pieces by the pounding surf and the clashing waves. It is then polished by the constant friction of the sand and surrounding elements. All the sharp, rough edges are worn down into a smooth, translucent treasure. And the longer it stays in the churning sea, the more beautiful it becomes. But often trampled underfoot, most people don't pay any attention to sea glass. For most people, sea glass is too small to notice. Most don't attach any value to what I would consider translucent treasures. You see, the reason why I find sea glass so captivating is because to me, it is a reflection of God's amazing grace. These broken pieces of glass remind me of how God can bring beauty out of brokenness. How God can take something that has been destroyed and discarded, He can polish it down to an attractive treasure. Now, if you're anything like me, you know that you've made mistakes in life. Perhaps you've been used and abused and discarded by others as worthless. And just like freshly broken glass, piercing the tender foot of an unsuspecting bypasser, perhaps in your brokenness, you've cut others with your words and actions. Maybe a sharp word or a rough response has cut someone close to you. And because of that, there are hurtful wounds in your relationships that have yet to be healed. We've all done things in our brokenness that we regret. Things we wish we could go back and change. You know, they say that hurt people hurt people. And that's the truth about human nature. Even the best of us have made mistakes. We've all done things that have only perpetuated more brokenness and pain in our world. But the good news is this. God can bring beauty from the brokenness. Our loving Lord desires to polish us in the sea of His love and in the ocean of His grace. And by the clashing waves of trials, He desires to smooth out all our rough edges. And though we are broken, we are still His special treasure. And like the tiny specks of sea glass in the sand, we're not too small for Him to notice. He sees our brokenness, and He takes special interest in our pain. And our pain has pierced His infinite heart with a divine sorrow. You see, God does not cause our pain, but nor does God waste our pain. Many times, God uses our brokenness to bless others, for He is the God that can bring beauty from the brokenness. Broken lives, broken hearts, broken dreams, broken bodies, and broken promises. All of these can still produce eternal blessings. The Bible says that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and He saves such that have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Someone once said that sometimes God redeems your story by surrounding you with people who need to hear your past so that it doesn't become their future. God can use our past problems to prevent future pain. From the mess of brokenness, God can bring a message of blessing. From earthly trials, God can bring heavenly triumph. From excruciating pain, God can bring eternal peace. And from a brutal test, God can bring a beautiful testimony. Now, I'm not speaking from mere theory. I'm speaking from personal experience. For this is exactly what Jesus did for me. I was a discarded, broken vessel. Before the Lord found me, I was wasting my mind on drugs. I grew up in a broken home, and I went to a high school with people who had a lot of rough edges. I was a broken glass in the midst of a pile of broken glass. But while many saw me as a problem child, God saw potential. And while some would see me as trash, God saw me as treasure. And so I was immersed in the sea of His love, baptized in the ocean of His grace. And to say the least, because of Jesus, my life has never been the same. And what God did for me, He surely can do for you. When Jesus hung on Calvary's cross, He was being assaulted by our sins, crushed by our condemnation, battered by our guilt and our shame. His body was bruised and His heart was broken. And yet He was willing to take all of our abuse in order to save us. We were worth it to Him. And through his brokenness, we can be blessed. So today I invite you to give to God the broken glass of your life. Give to him your bleeding heart, your shattered dreams, your battered body, and your broken promises. Your situation, whatever it may be, is not beyond salvageable. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. It's not too late and you've not gone too far. Today I invite you to allow the Lord to polish you, refine you, and use you to reflect his beauty in this world of brokenness.
The group Lifelong Worship joins us now as they sing the timeless How Great Thou Art.
O Lord, my God, when I am awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the roar. My soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior. Savior God, to thee.
Are you enjoying today's program? Well, don't forget to share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
Also, we have to take a quick break now, but when we return, Faith for Today will be blessing us with a devotional. Stay right with us. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
A young soldier and his commanding officer got onto a train together. The only available seats were across from an attractive young woman who was traveling with her grandmother. As they engaged in pleasant conversation, the soldier and the young woman kept eyeing one another. The attraction was obviously mutual. Suddenly, the train went into a tunnel and the car became pitch black. Immediately, two sounds were heard: the smack of a kiss and the whack of a slap across the face. The grandmother thought, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad she gave him a slap that he deserved." The commanding officer thought, "I don't blame the boy for kissing that girl, but it's a shame that she missed his face and hit me instead." The young girl thought, "I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it." And as the train broke into the sunlight, the soldier could not wipe the smile off his face. He had just seized the opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer and had gotten away with both. Now, some of the goals we all have are to seize the day, to live in the moment, and to not let worries keep us from living joy-filled lives. But worries seem to plague most of our waking moments. Jesus understood that worry about the things of life could undo a disciple's career. So Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Those who chose to be on the road with Jesus necessarily lived on the edge in respect to their food and clothing. If a disciple worried about breakfast, and then when breakfast was provided, thought, "Phew, that's over. Now, where will my lunch come from?" That disciple would soon become neutralized and spiritually ineffective. There's a broad application of this truth to today's culture because modern culture is neurotic about food and drink and clothing. TV ads feed our neuroses with alluring images of skinny people downing chips and burgers and sodas. Every product imaginable for the body is promoted. How to tan it, slim it, pamper it, clothe it, drug it, and stimulate it. Today's marketing seems to be addressing worries that we didn't even know we had. But Jesus commands us not to worry about life. Life is more than a good meal and a new outfit, and it's certainly more than worrying about these things. But it feels almost impossible to not worry, doesn't it? Perhaps that's why Jesus didn't stop with these two illustrations. He continues by saying, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? The ravens and their little brothers, the crows, were and are everywhere in every nation of the world. They are, in fact, scavengers, and in biblical times, they were considered unclean. These insolent, squawking birds know nothing of the prudent habits of a farmer, and yet God feeds them." This doesn't mean that Jesus' followers are not to work, for in other places in Scripture, it speaks about animals as an example of hard workers. Jesus was merely holding up a common bird that lives according to its God-given capabilities and function, and showing that God provides for it. We don't have to worry about the basic things as long as we remember God and where we are going along with Him. Albert Einstein was traveling from Princeton on a train. When the conductor came down the aisle punching tickets, Einstein reached in his vest pocket. He couldn't find his ticket, so he reached in his trouser pockets. It wasn't there. So he looked in his briefcase, but still he couldn't find it. He looked in the seat next to him, but it wasn't there either. The conductor kindly said, "Dr. Einstein, I know who you are. We all know who you are. I'm sure you bought a ticket. Don't worry about it." The conductor then continued on his way, punching tickets. Just before he went to the next car, he turned around and saw the great scientist on his hands and knees looking under his seat for the ticket. The conductor rushed back and said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry. I know who you are. No problem. You don't need a ticket. Einstein said, "Young man, I too know who I am. What I don't know is where I am going." Now, this is a funny story, but the truth is, all of our worries can vanish if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's when the glory of God's destination will outshine all of our worries. Freed from our worry and fretting over material things, what are you going to do? Set up one goal and accomplish it? Be part of God's kingdom? Do the work he gives you to do? Concentrate on being God's instruments to establish his kingdom here on earth? As he provided for the mission of the 12, so he will provide for you. Surrender your fear. Don't let anxiety rule your life. Trust the Father. The delight of his life is to find ways to give not only just daily needs, but his whole kingdom to you. Us kingdom heirs don't have to worry about the small stuff. Worry projects the worst. The worrier is perpetually going unfed and unclothed. Worry loads the present with the weight of the future. And when you load the troubles that you are anticipating upon the troubles you are presently experiencing, you give yourself an impossible burden. As George MacDonald wisely put it, "No man ever sank under the burdens of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear." Jesus said just that in his summary statement of the parallel passage in Matthew. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." A woman who had lived long enough to have learned some important truths about life remarked, "I've had a lot of trouble, most of which never happened." She had worried about many things that had never occurred and had come to see the total futility of her anxieties. A submarine was being tested and had to remain submerged for many hours. When it returned to the harbor, the captain was asked, "How did the terrible storm last night affect you?" The officer looked at him in surprise and exclaimed, "Storm? We didn't even know that there was one." The sub had been so far beneath the surface that it had reached the area known to sailors as the cushion of the sea. Although the ocean may be whipped into huge waves by huge and high winds, the waters below are never stirred. The Christian's mind can be protected against the distracting waves of worry if it is resting completely in the good providence of God. There, sheltered by his grace and encouraged by his Holy Spirit, the believer can find the perfect tranquility that only Christ can provide. Let us all stop worrying today and place ourselves in the cushion of the world's stormy seas.
Thank you so much, Pastor Roy. That was a blessing.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about us or share us with friends, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at the same time. We'll be talking about the pursuit of happiness, the incredible whale song, and we'll have more you don't want to miss.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. And before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. Today's Bible promise says, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. That's in Luke chapter 8, verse 39.
Beautiful thought. Friend, God asks us to tell the world what great things he has done for us. Indeed, He has done and continues to do and will do great things for each one of us. Go and tell the world, and you will surely be blessed and draw joy to your heart as you proclaim the greatness of His name.
Amen. You know, that's a promise. You know, friends, we've enjoyed our time with you today, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, today, Lord, we've been filled with so much good content. We have been inspired. We have tasted and seen that you are good. And as we begin our day, as we go out into our day, may you give us the opportunity to share good news with somebody that you bring into our path. May we witness of your love and of the great hope that we have in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.